On today's program, Andrew Womack will inspire you to reach out and take the healing that is yours in Jesus Christ. God wants you well, and that's the gospel truth. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started on nearly 3 weeks ago, talking about God wants you well. I tell you, this is a subject that applies to every single person. Seems like that all of us suffer with sickness and problems. And if you personally aren't dealing with a sickness or an illness, you know someone that is. It touches every single person's life. And as a whole, the body of Christ has taught that God is indifferent at the very least. Sometimes people actually teach that God is the one who puts sickness on you and that God is the author of your problems. Now, I've already spent 2.5 weeks countering this, what I believe is wrong teaching, and so I'm not going to go back over that. But today, what I'm going to begin to start dealing with is, why isn't everyone healed? I've already talked about how it is God's will to heal every single person, how that it's a part of the atonement of the Lord Jesus, how that Jesus showed us what God's will is because the Scripture says that He was the express image of the Father, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, a perfect representation. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. And yet Jesus never made a person sick. Jesus never refused to heal a person. There are a couple of instances in Mark chapter 6, Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus didn't heal every person, but it makes it very clear it was because of their unbelief. They rejected Him. Jesus wanted to heal them. It says He could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Not He wouldn't do it, He couldn't do it. Mark 6, 5. So I've showed that it was God's will to heal because Jesus showed us the will of God, and He never made a person sick. He never told a person, you haven't learned your lesson yet. Keep this sickness. God is working some redemptive purpose in you. No, He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You know, let me just take a few instances. There's 17 separate instances in the gospel. Now, of course, you understand that the gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, record some of the same events over. But I have gone through and I've separated out the repeat of a story. There are 17 separate instances in the gospel where Jesus healed every single person. Let me just go through the book of Matthew alone. I'm not going to go through all of the Gospels, but let me just go through Matthew and read some of these to you. And if the Word means anything, then this ought to be saying volumes to you about what God's will is. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." There is no reason for you to say, well, there's certain things that God cannot or will not heal. This shows that He healed all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. "And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them." Implying that He healed them all. He didn't heal them some, He healed them all. Amen. What a great truth. Matthew 8, 16 through 17, "And when the even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." You know, I've already used that verse. That was a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, where it says, "He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Those words literally mean infirmities and sicknesses. And then in Isaiah 53, 5, it says, "With His stripes we are healed." And notice that He healed all that were sick, Matthew 8, 16. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Again, here is another instance, and you've got to remember, Jesus said, "I'm only doing what I see my Father do." And He says, "I do everything that I see my Father do." And his father never led him to not heal a person, to put sickness on a person, to teach them something. And if Jesus is truly the express image of God the Father, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, then he would have failed to represent God to us if he didn't do what God was doing. He did represent God perfectly, and he never put sickness on a person. He never refused to heal a single person. You know, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, I've already used this verse, but it says how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It was good to heal people. Today you hear some people saying, all that stuff's of the devil. Man, this was good to heal people. Why in the world do people come up and think that when a person's life gets changed and they are healed and they fall in love with God and they're excited about it, that that's of the devil? I tell you, that's perverse. And there is a lot of perversion coming not only from people outside of the church, but inside of the church. There are a lot of people misrepresenting God on this subject of God wants you well. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, it says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He didn't heal them some. He healed them all. Jesus showed us the Father's will, and he healed all of these people. And it says great multitudes. I don't know what you call a multitude, but a multitude isn't 5 or 10 or a dozen or 20 or 50 or 100. A multitude is talking about at least thousands of people, and he healed them all. And Jesus went forth, Matthew 14, 14. Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Notice it says Jesus was moved with compassion. Did you know it's the love of God? The Bible says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love. And God loves people. And God does not want sickness and disease. The Lord, when he created Adam and Eve, there was no sickness. There was no disease. All sickness, all disease came after the fall. It was not the way God created this world to be. Just like, you know, after the fall, animals now cannibalize each other. There are carnivores that go out and eat other animals. God never intended that. They were all herbivores. The tiger, the lion, all of those were herbivores before the fall. But after sin entered in is when this happened. And it was after sin entered into the world that sickness began, that these little microscopic germs and different things, viruses begin to start doing evil, bad things and hurting people. God did not create sickness. Mankind brought this in. And when Jesus was here, he was moved with compassion and healed them. It was compassion that moved him to heal people. And when people today say that God isn't healing people today, what you're saying is he doesn't have compassion for the sick. Now, I know that people wouldn't be that bold. They would try and whitewash this and smooth it over and say, oh, yes, he's working some redemptive purpose. But you know what? In the Bible, it was compassion that moved Jesus to heal people. He never showed compassion by smiting somebody with cancer, the palsy, blindness, deafness. That is not in the Bible. That is a religious con today that has been put out. It is not true. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 34, it says, and when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And it's implied that he healed all of them. There is no mention that there was a single person that he didn't meet their need. Matthew chapter 15, verse 30 through 31. It says, and great multitudes came unto him. Again, this isn't talking about one person, two people, 5, 10, 50. This is talking about hundreds or thousands came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Things that cause people to glorify God, to give him worth and value and praise, is not of the devil. The Lord healed people and it caused people to rejoice. It drew crowds. It did all of these things. And the church, I believe, has misrepresented God in this area when they tell people that it's God's will that this person died. It's God's will that he's letting you suffer. God's trying to break you. God's trying to teach you something. When a person jumps off into shallow water and breaks their neck, and because of that is a quadriplegic, and then they say that God did this to them, that is a misrepresentation of God. It sends a wrong signal. You know, if there was a person who did all of the things that God is blamed for, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, making babies born dead, born with birth defects, and on and on, and all of the sickness and all of the disease. If some person was guilty of everything that God is blamed for, there isn't a civilized nation on the face of the earth that wouldn't prosecute that person, lock them up, kill them, and rightfully so. And yet people ascribe this to God, and it leaves an impression that God is this harsh, mean, uncaring person. I know that there's people watching this program right now that, you know what, you're suffering through situations. And you've prayed and said, God, please help me. And you haven't seen any relief. And that immediately raises the question, well, why isn't every person healed? Why aren't I healed? And religion, sad to say, is going to come along and tell you it's well because God doesn't do that anymore. He quit healing people. He doesn't care about you. Or other religious people will come along and say, God is actually putting this on you because you did something wrong and this is your punishment. Or other religious people will come along and say, well, God is doing this because he loves you so much. He gave you cancer and it's causing terrible pain and you can't sleep. And God's doing this because he loves you so much. And I tell you what, that's confusing. That's hard to wrap your brain around. And it's no wonder why a lot of people don't come to God. I mean, if that's the way that God is, if he loves you so much that he's going to strike your child and make them die, maybe you just ought to let him stay on the other side of the room, not get real close to him. Because if he loves you a whole bunch, he's going to smite you with something. You know, I'm saying this in love, but this does tick me off just a little bit. But only religious people would ever fall for that. You have to be indoctrinated. That it just defies logic. I guarantee you, if I got close to you and if I got close to you, I was going to smite you with some cancer. I was going to make your body waste away. I was going to take all of your money from you. I was going to kill your child. And if that's the way that I was, and that's the way I treated the people that I really love, there wouldn't be many people who would like to be my friend. There's people that would stay away from me. They'd want to just know me casually. They wouldn't want to get close if that's the way that I treat the ones that I really love. And this is what the church as a whole, again, there's good churches. I'm not against the church, but I'm against all of this false religious stuff that has crept into the church. And there's a large number of people today preaching that God, if he really loves you, is going to hurt you. You know, I was raised in a denomination that there's a lot of twists, a lot of different subtle variations of what I'm talking about. But I was raised in a church that we would sing the song, "Wherever he leads, I'll go." And then they would get up and they would have a missionary talk about, oh, that God led me to the darkest corner of Africa and I got over there and I live in a grass hut and I've had malaria 10 times and I lost my wife and my child died and I've been beaten. And if you really want to serve God, God is going to put you in a terrible place and it's going to be hard. And then they'd sing, "Wherever he leads, I'll go." And without necessarily saying it in these words, they basically taught that if you truly commit your life to God, he is going to lead you to do the very thing that you hate. That is not true. Now, it is true that somebody has to go to the people in the darkest part of Africa. But, you know, I've got a good friend. I mean, a guy who's very well off now, but he was born in a hut in Africa. And he says, what's wrong with living in a hut? He said, we had the best hut in the whole village. He said, we had 3 and 4 chickens where most people only had one. And you know what? He didn't mind it. There's nothing wrong with that. And if God sends you to one of these people, God will change your heart so that you will love it. I've got friends that have been missionaries in Mexico for 25 years. They love it. They talk all of the time about how blessed they are that their kids weren't raised in America, in our pagan culture, and that they were in a situation where it was in a godly deal. I've got people that are missionaries in Uganda that are going to stay there. They love it. You know what? God is going to give you the desires of your heart. At Psalms 37:4. That doesn't mean that He'll just give you anything you want. It means that He will change your heart and put His desires into your heart. And if God wants you to go to the darkest corner of Africa and live in a grass hut, you'll love it. If God wants you to go to the inner city and deal with the down and outers, you'll love it. Whatever it is, this whole thing that God is just, He's going to hurt you. He's going to do something that is going to damage you. God's plans for your life are better than your plans for your life. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Some translations say a hope and a future. You know, I'm getting a little bit off the subject, but really this is the same thing. When you're talking about healing, you're talking about God loves you. God doesn't want you to suffer. Your husband, your wife, if they could, they would get you well. And that's a human love. That's a fallen human being who isn't perfect. They aren't even worthy to be compared with the purity and the quantity of God's kind of love for you. And yet we'll sit there and say about God, oh, He's almighty. He can do anything. And He's just totally indifferent. He doesn't heal today. He doesn't consider that to be important. All He's going to do is forgive you of your sins. But you're on your own when it comes to healing. He's not moved with your hurts and with your pains. That is a misrepresentation of God. And it's really a misrepresentation of God when they come out and say, oh, God's the one that put this on you. God is trying to break you. This is actually for your good. You can look in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and it tells you what is a blessing and what is a curse. It says the first 14 verses are blessings, and it is a blessing to be healed. It's a blessing to be prosperous. It's a blessing to be above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail. In verses 15 through 68, it tells you what a curse is, and it's a curse to be sick. It lists all kinds of sickness, the itch, the botch, the mildew, all kinds of things. Any kind of sickness, your pain in your knees, all of this stuff is listed. And then it says, and every sickness and every disease, which is not written in this book, those are also curses. That includes anything you can name today. AIDS, Alzheimer's, any arthritis, anything that you can name today that isn't specifically called out in the Bible, it calls it a curse. And Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. I tell you, when the church is misrepresenting God and saying God is indifferent, He doesn't care, or God is actually the author of your sickness, that is misrepresenting God, and that's one reason that a lot of people turn away from God. Jesus represented God, and He went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. And I'm just reading a few of these instances to you. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 2, it says, great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them there. He didn't turn them away. He healed them. Matthew chapter 21, verse 14, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And as I said, there are 17 different instances. I've read 9. So there are another 8 instances in the gospel that I didn't read. But it's the same thing, just over and over and over. God wants you well. It is God's will for you to be well. And I've been teaching on this now for 3 weeks. And so this begs the question, if that is God's will, then why isn't everyone healed? That's what I'm beginning to teach on today. Of course, I'm running out of time today, but tomorrow I'll continue this, and then next week we're going to continue to talk about this. But you know, that's a very simple answer, but it has a very complex, that's a simple question, excuse me, but it has a very complex answer. It's not as simple as, well, people don't just believe. You know, I'm saying this in love. I hope nobody criticizes me. If my pastor sees this, I'm not against my pastor. But my pastor, he took me out to eat, and we talked about this because he was going to teach a series on healing. And he's not as strong or as extreme. He would probably call it extreme as what I am concerning this subject of healing. And we talked about it, and he was very open, and I was really honored that he would ask my opinion about it. But anyway, one of the things that he said through this series on healing over and over and over is that it really offends him when people say it's the reason some people aren't healed is because they don't have enough faith. I would agree with this, that that is not the only reason, but it is one reason. And I don't know this for sure, but I suspect that there is something in his background, some person that he was close to, prayed for, that wasn't healed. And there was probably some faith, quote-unquote, type person that came up and just, you know, blanket said, it's because you don't believe God, or you're whoever would have been healed. Something like that probably happened. And because of that, there's a soft spot here. And so anyway, he's mentioned it three or four times that, man, don't you ever come up to me and say it's because you don't have enough faith that you aren't healed. Well, that's not the only reason, and I'm going to teach about this, but that is one reason. And, you know, I thought it was interesting because one of the days that he made such a big issue out of that, did you know he read about five different scriptures? One of them that stands out is Matthew chapter 17, and I'll be talking about these very verses. And Jesus' disciples couldn't cast this lunatic spirit that caused a boy to have seizures. They couldn't cast this spirit out. And they said, why couldn't we do it? And the Lord there told them in Matthew chapter 17, he says, you faithless and perverse generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I going to suffer you? And there was about five different instances of healing that my pastor read during this series. And every one of them, Jesus said, it's because of your unbelief. It's because you aren't trusting God, because you didn't believe God. Now, I think it's too simplistic to just say that's the only reason. I think that that has been said in a way that has hurt people and caused them to probably reject preaching on healing because they see the way that some people go around arrogantly condemning others. Yes, there has been an abuse, but you know what? It's just the truth that is certainly one reason why people aren't healed. If people don't believe for healing or if they waver. Let me take this verse out of James chapter 1 that I think makes a very clear point right here in James chapter 1 in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, this isn't confined to wisdom. I think you could say if any of you lack anything, if you lack prosperity or if you lack healing, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. This just makes it very clear that when you ask, you have to ask in faith without wavering. Same thing is said in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, where it says you have to speak to this mountain and doubt not in your heart. You have to believe. And if you don't believe, that is one obvious reason why everyone isn't healed. You know, I've just got a lot to say on this, and so I'm going to have to continue this again tomorrow and also into next week. But this question about why isn't everyone healed, there isn't a simple, single answer. It's a complicated thing. And I'm going to, you know, let me also say this. I don't understand all of the reasons. I haven't got it all figured out. But just like a child, you know what, when they first start trying to walk, they don't always do it perfectly. They fall. They hurt themselves. They hit themselves. But do the parents say, well, you failed. It's your fault. Well, in a sense, it's their fault. They haven't gotten coordination yet. They haven't developed. But you just get up and keep going, and eventually you get it. You know, I'm going to share more on this, and so I'll continue this on our teaching tomorrow and into next week. I would like to encourage you to please get these materials. I tell you, this could change your life. We've got an entire package that we've called a better health care package. And if you'll listen, our announcer will give you that information. And please call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled God Wants You Well is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide,
plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Healthcare Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The third teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? Is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, I'd like to encourage you to consider our Charis Bible College. I know that the things that I'm teaching are just radically different than what many people think, and they think, man, there's just so much that I need to know. And you know, really, the best way that I have of impacting a person's life is our Charis Bible College. We not only have our campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 campuses around the world. And we just opened up an online Bible school where you actually go through as a group. You have things that you interact with instructors, and it's a great way to get hold of the Word of God. We've got a phone number that you can call. Please call and check out about our Charis Bible Colleges.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar May 13th through the 15th and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Summer Family Bible Conference June 28th through July 2nd and in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 15th through the 17th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
My dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he committed suicide when I was 5 years old. And I didn't really understand his death at the time, but I know I kind of got mad at God. Got really mad at God, actually. I decided that I was going to run from God, and I was never going to let anybody have that much control to hurt me that much ever again.
If God's expecting you to bear all things, God Himself will bear all things. If God is expecting you to love, believe at all times, then you know what? God will believe in you at all times, regardless of how many stupid things we do.
For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on today's news feature. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries today.